I truly don't know if I have adequate words. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I don't, to convey to you what I feel in my heart right now, and how thankful I am to have the privilege of being here. And Brother Chris extended the invitation for me to come. It wasn't long afterward that I began really anticipating coming, and joyfully. And the closer it got, it seemed like it grew, and it grew. And then the time came upon us. We were packing, getting ready to come. And folks that loved me reached out to me and said they were praying for the service, that they had been here. Elder Joe Holder sends his love. Says, you're really going to enjoy being with these people. And the anticipation just continued to grow. And we got here last evening, and Brother Chris picked us up, and the hospitality that we felt at he and Sister Lydia's home, and the love of those girls. The anticipation began to dissipate into reality, but I've enjoyed every single bit of it right up till now. And I pray that the Lord will continue to bless. What we're doing tonight and through this weekend is of great importance. And I recognize clearly the awesome responsibility that is mine to try and speak in the name of my Lord. And I want to speak in such a way that it glorifies His great and good name. And if I do that, it'll be edifying to the body. And I trust tonight that that is my heart's desire, and it should be all of our desire as we endeavor to speak in the name of God. Now, I have a subject. I have a couple of them, actually, and tossed a little bit throughout the course of the day. That's one detriment when you stay with the preacher. You have all day before you come to church. We talk about a few things, and so many things have been across my mind. I believe that where my heart is tonight is of the Lord. I pray that it is. You pray for me that God would bless the time I stand before you. In John chapter 3, if you have your Bibles and want to turn there with me, there is an exchange that takes place between a man called Nicodemus and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that God's Word in its entirety is inspired by the Spirit of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect and thoroughly furnished. Every word in the Word of God is for our edification. And it's all important. There's none of it that's not important. There's a special import, I believe, when we understand and come to know that it is the words of the Savior Himself. Never a man spake like this man. And when Jesus taught in Scripture, it's amazing when you consider it and you look at the circumstances and you see how He navigates through that He is teaching. And that is what's going on here in John chapter 3. Now this lesson, this exchange between Nicodemus and the Lord, you can call it a conversation. I don't know how much of a conversation it is. Nicodemus contributed a little bit. Really, the Lord did, he did all the heavy lifting in the conversation with great purpose. And this is a very interesting exchange and a very interesting dialogue. And I believe that it teaches a lesson that is extremely important in the lives of God's people. Certainly, the Lord covers the new birth, and trust we'll consider that. But I believe that the Lord, in exchanging with Nicodemus and responding to the setting that was before them and Nicodemus' behavior, He is teaching us something that I believe even extends beyond just the necessity of the new birth. He elevates the absolute necessity of the new birth for certain things. But he also, I believe, sets before us the benefits or the great blessings of being born again. And I trust this evening that we're all very thankful that we have been born into the family of God. And the things that we are recipients of because of that very thing. But Jesus also teaches the requirements of the new birth. What is laid upon us that are born again? What should we be doing with the lofty position that we occupy of being born into the family of God? He does not quicken us by His grace that we would sit idly by. Amen. And just sit back and enjoy the fact that we are now children of the King and we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He's given us something so much better than that. Yeah. And I believe the lesson is here, and if God will help this evening, and this is truly, if I'm going to handle this like I would like to, it's a two-part message. It's a single conversation, but it's a two-part message. And depending upon how I handle the first part of it, if Brother Chris doesn't run me back to the airport, perhaps we'll cover the second part of it. Because I can't truly give it all that it is justly due in a single message. And I trust these ministers feel that way probably about just nearly anything that we try to preach on. But read with me, if you will. And I'm going to read a little bit more than I normally do, but this is an exchange, and I think we need to get all of it. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. What a great concession Nicodemus makes for the Savior. Thou art a teacher. We know we've seen what we've seen. And we know, and Nicodemus is speaking on behalf of himself, but he's speaking on behalf of others as well. We know that thou art come from God. We've seen the miracles you're performing, and you're a teacher that comes from God. He makes this statement, I believe, not only by how he comes unto the Lord. He comes unto the Lord by night, under the darkness of night. He's in a covert stature, if you will. And he confesses something that I believe was absolutely undeniable in every way. That Christ came from God because of the things that he did. But he came far short of acknowledging who Christ really is. Jesus answered. I don't see a question from Nicodemus in this first portion of this scripture. But you know how we approach the Lord and the behavior in which we engage the Lord and the things that are outwardly manifest in our behavior that stem from how we feel on the inside oftentimes ask questions without us ever saying a word. It speaks. It speaks. Our actions speak to that which is important to us. Our actions speak to that which we believe. Our actions speak to our view of who the Lord truly is. It's been mentioned already a couple of times here even this evening. This low ground of sin and sorrow. And how it is that the things that are in this world, they vex our soul. They drag us down from the place that we would surely love to occupy in our lives, living peaceably with one another and before the Lord and having contentment and joy and peace and harmony and living above the things that pull us down in this time world. And yet you can't hardly escape them because they're ever present before your eyes. I believe one of the things that Jesus is doing here, and I trust the Lord will bless us to consider it a little bit as we read through this and consider it, that Jesus is articulating clearly The necessity that is laid upon God's people who are born of the Spirit of God, who are born from above, that we have the ability to discern spiritual things in our life, see things that are invisible to the natural eye, that will allow us to rise above the transitory things of life for a little while. Jesus references it as the kingdom of God. He says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? These next two verses are very important, I believe, to understanding the fullness of this lesson. As we consider what Jesus is teaching relative to the new birth, and then beyond even dealing with the new birth and the necessity of it in the experience of Nicodemus. We can't lose sight of the fact that this is a single conversation that is taking place with this man, Nicodemus, who is a ruler of the Jews. He's a master of Israel, very likely, very possibly a member of the Sanhedrin. He had access to many things as it pertains to the Jews' religion. He had everything at his fingertips. He lacked one thing. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, third time, Jesus said, Verily, verily. That is truly, truly. This is something that requires us to give great attention to. It's of the utmost importance. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know. We and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. There are many belief structures in the world today. There are many of God's people, good, godly people, that will live in heaven in immortal glory when time is no more, that have a skewed view of the witness of Jesus Christ.
Right.
They have the ability to receive the witness of Christ, to embrace the fullness of Christ, and nevertheless, they come short of it. Now, I'm not here to tell you why that's the case. I will tell you tonight that I cannot thank God enough that not only has He born me into His family, quickened me by His grace, given me the unction of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit and faith that abides within my heart and soul that feeds the hope that I have of living with God in glory. I cannot thank God enough that I feel to be an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, a member of the family of God, a child of the King. It is the most lofty position that we can occupy here in this time world. And it's going to get better than that.
Yeah.
It's going to get better than that. But in order for that truth to bless me as I need it to bless me, I have to exercise the faith that God has given me, that I might exercise spiritual discernment, that I might see Him better today than I did yesterday. that I might grow in grace and in knowledge of my Lord and Savior, that I might truly walk worthy of the vocation wherewith I am called, that I would exercise a spiritual discernment, understanding that I didn't go out and purchase that discernment, I didn't go out and obtain it on my own, that it was given unto me by the grace of Almighty God. And God gave it to us, His children, in order that we would utilize it in His service and to the benefit in our lives, that we would in fact be able to see things that are invisible to the natural eye and save ourselves from this untoward generation. We have this exchange, and Nicodemus is coming unto the Lord, and he's under the shroud of darkness, if you will. There was a reason that Nicodemus did not want to be seen coming unto the Lord. There's a reason for that. And I'm not here tonight to try to pick apart Nicodemus or to put a lot of emphasis upon the things that that we might think that he did or he was thinking. But the reality of the matter is that he came unto the Lord under the shroud of darkness. He was representing those other than even just himself. And he was making a concession, if you will, relative to the person of Jesus Christ. And he was not exercising spiritual discernment when the Lord started to reveal unto him and convey unto him something that Jesus expected him to know. You see, Jesus said, "Art thou a master in Israel, and you don't know these things?" You know, in the experience of my life, there have been many times when I have approached the Word of God in a prayerful way and in trying to study, and the Lord would bless and open something up, and the first response to it is great joy in my life, and I just relish and rejoice in the revealing of truth. But then after a little while, I begin a little embarrassed that I didn't already know it. I get a little embarrassed that I didn't already know it. These things come unto us here a little and there a little. And I also, it keeps me in contact with the fact that I need to be in touch with my limitations. And to be thankful for that God has blessed us and blessed me to know about the preciousness of His truth, that I would be able to come, I don't know how many hours we flew or how many miles it is between California and Florida. It's a long way. There's no doubt about it. Through technology and all, we got here pretty quick in the grand scheme of things, but it's a long way. But you know, right now, I feel absolutely at home.
Amen.
The natural man cannot explain that, nor can he embrace it. When you come together with God's people, the members of the kingdom of God, a place that is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness. It is rejoicing and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not that we would come to Little Union Primitive Baptist Church for the beauty of this building. And by the way, it is absolutely a fitting and wonderful place for God's people, the church, to meet together to worship and adore the Lord our God. And y'all ought to be thankful for it, and I know that you are, but this is not a place that I came to be a part of. I came to be a part of the experience of the church meeting together, where righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost is that which overrides the things that are going on outside these walls.
Yeah.
And that we for a little while might be able to just escape the things of this time world and center the very depth of our heart, our mind, and the fullness of our attention upon how good God is.
Yeah, amen.
Oh, church, that we would truly be thankful that we are born into the family of God. What we're doing tonight, this is family business. Family's important. And this is family business. These are things that God has blessed us to attend unto that we cannot attend unto without having the ability to spiritually discern the goodness and the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. And here we have an occasion where Nicodemus is positioning himself. And again, I believe that he's making some sort of a concession. And it affected the Lord because the Lord immediately responded to it. And when Nicodemus said, "You're a teacher that's come from God. We've seen your miracles." And you know, there's a lot of God's people in the world today that will say, "Well, I acknowledge Jesus Christ. I acknowledge God. I believe in God. Nevertheless, I want to eat my own bread. I want to wear my own apparel. This is my Jesus," and they're not willing to accept the fullness of the person of Jesus Christ. They haven't received His witness. And Jesus didn't leave us to wonder what His witness was. He said, "I'm only talking about the things that I know." That's honorable. "I'm only reviewing with you, Nicodemus, the things which I have seen." Again, a very honorable position. He wasn't surmising. He wasn't trying to elaborate on something that someone else had brought in. What he is doing, and if you read the next verse, and probably should already read that verse, but Jesus there sets before Nicodemus who it is. "I'm not a teacher that's come from God because of the miracles that you see. I am the omnipresent God that stands before you."
Amen.
I would have us tonight to consider who it truly is that we are here to worship tonight. Who is Jesus Christ? You know, when Christ was in the world in His ministry, He asked that question repeatedly, did He not? He asked the apostles, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And there were various answers that were given. Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah. But Jesus brought it right down where it needed to be. And I would ask us tonight individually and collectively as a church, "Whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am?" You know, there were some in the 10th chapter of the book of John that Jesus, in teaching over there relative to His sheep hearing His voice and knowing Him and following Him, that He knows them and they follow Him, "and I give unto them eternal life." There were those that did not believe Him. Why? Because they were not of His sheep. They had not the ability to do so. I'm talking about folks, I'm talking about a circumstance, I believe, where had the ability to do so, and certainly we have the ability to embrace the fullness of the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, that God would bless us to be diligent and truly spiritually discern the person of Jesus Christ. Acknowledge that He is who He said He is. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I've already said that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not a destination. And once you arrive there, you can just sit down and you're there and you've arrived into it. And by the way, a belief is not that way. And faith is not that way. A belief is not a one and done experience. It is not something that you arrive at. It is an ongoing process that we are blessed of the Lord to look to the things of God.
Yeah.
And that we would continually grow in grace and in knowledge. I tell the church at Fremont probably more often than they care to hear. But that if we take inventory in the experience of our lives and our discipleship, and if we can look back at the year prior to where we are right now, and if we have not grown in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, moving to spiritual maturity and the things of the Lord, then we need to get on our knees, pray unto God, that God work upon us in a way that we would be diligent in His service. We are blessed of the Lord to be in possession of a great thing.
Yes.
Of a great thing. That we would be able to be called the friends of Jesus. That we would recognize, as He told the apostles in one place, that I'm not calling you servants. I'm referring to you as friends. And I paraphrase this, that a servant wonders what the master is doing. But a friend is brought on the inside and given inside information. Do you realize tonight, as Brother David said in his remarks and singing and in his prayer, and that we are of the Lord and that are striving to grow in grace and knowledge, that the things that are going on in the world today, that they should not find a lodging place with us, because our enemy out there is a defeated foe. And Babylon is fallen. Fallen. We are blessed to live in a great country, are we not?
Yeah.
I pray with all my heart that we don't lose sight of that fact. That we are blessed to live in a place where we can freely, according to the dictates of our heart, call upon the name of God. And we should diligently pray for the leaders of our country that we be blessed of the Lord to live comfortably and peaceably, and that the cause of Jesus Christ would not be thwarted, that we would not have to push against those things, but we would have the liberties that we do for the advancement of the gospel of salvation. Jesus said, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. A little bit later, he says, if you're not born of water and of the Spirit, and I believe that he's just emphasizing the fact of the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You cannot enter into the kingdom. You see the word enter and you think, well, again, that's a place where you arrive. We enter through the door. Church, I would have us to understand tonight that dwelling in this low ground that we live in today, being strangers and pilgrims here in this low ground of sin and sorrow, this world is not our home. And nevertheless, we have a kingdom of God that we are blessed to enter into one with another that is not of this time world.
Yeah.
It is a living entity. It edifies itself. It feeds itself. And the food that we need is surely the love of God. And that's why I can come this far and not having met, but just maybe a very few of you. And yet I see the love of God reflected even as you greet someone from California, of all places. I heard a few shots at California that were new to me. I hadn't heard them before I got here. I'm going to take them back with me and just kind of remind the folks out there, listen, y'all behave. Jesus said, if you're not born from above, if you don't have the ability to discern spiritual things, you'll never discern spiritual things. You won't be able to see them. When's the last time that we stepped back and through an eye of faith walked about Zion and looked at the palaces and the towers and looked at the beauty of that which God has blessed us to dwell here in this world? I'll tell you, just in the short time we've been here, what I've seen and what I have felt and what I have heard is beautiful. Hearing the saints raise their voice in praise and adoration unto the God of all grace, for He's worthy of our praise. Recognizing that we need His grace, that we would worship Him. And then as we worship Him, He's faithful to bless with His felt presence. Jesus said, without being born again, you don't have the ability to see it, and you certainly won't embrace it. And then Jesus says something, and I want to hit this one other quick point and then have Brother David come forward. He says this, and it's very interesting. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, this is a long-standing and fundamental law of God, that the very nature of a thing can only bring forth the same nature of the thing. That is a fundamental law of God.
Yes.
You go over to the first chapter of the book of Genesis and you see grasses and you see trees and you see fowls of the air and creatures in the sea. And then you see man and woman being commanded of God that they would be fruitful and multiply. And yet, a man and a woman, be fruitful and multiply. You can only, the flesh can bring forth only flesh. And Jesus makes the point that spirit brings forth that of the Spirit. In the Corinthian letter, in 1 Corinthians, let me just turn there very quickly, and you can read along with me. And this is, I'm sure this is very familiar place for you all in Scripture, but I think the point is extremely well made by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth, and we'll hit this point and then give way. Paul says in the 9th verse of the 2nd chapter of 1 Corinthians, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered in to the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." I've heard that verse applied, that you just cannot outgive God, and the things that He's got in store for you in your life as you serve God, you just can't imagine how good it'll be. Well, now, while that might be true, that's not what Paul's talking about. Right. Paul is talking about a positional place, a place that we hold of being heirs of grace, of being born of the Spirit of God, of having a spiritual man that can discern spiritual things. And you can't do it outside of being born of the Spirit of God. He says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." Aren't you thankful for the things God's revealed unto you? Yeah. What would you give tonight for the times in wee hours of the morning, whether it's light out or dark out? Sometimes our lives get in the wee hours of the morning, don't they? Things come in our lives. And we look to the right, and we look to the left, we look up and down and around about us, and we find no solution to the problems at hand. And all of a sudden, the Spirit comes, and God, as it were, lays His hand upon you and says, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." Oh, I'll tell you, the older I get, and I'm not that old, but the older I get, the more I love peace. Now, I would admit to you that, to me, there is a quiet component to peace. I think I can biblically prove that. I'm not crazy about a whole bunch of loud noise. But peace and the quietness of peace blesses us with the ability to discern. When there's a lot of racket and a lot of things going on, I get confused. I sometimes I don't know which way to go. We raised 2 kids. I guarantee you, they tied me in knots. Thank God for my wife. Church, we are blessed having the things of the Spirit that we might discern spiritually. Paul says, "For what man knoweth the things of man?" That's which is flesh, is flesh. What things knoweth a man? But the Spirit, save the Spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. For a little bit later, he says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You know, there are those in the world today. There were those then. They're in the world today that do not have the ability to discern spiritual things. I believe in this exchange between Jesus and Nicodemus, that the Lord is teaching Nicodemus and understanding who this man is that has come unto him, and the authority that he has and the influence that he has and the things that are going on with him that caused him to come through the darkness of night and to refer unto him as a teacher that come from God because of the miracles, not recognizing and not accepting the witness of the person of Jesus Christ who he was standing in front of. Yeah. That is a fundamental, absolutely fundamental necessity. If we are going to believe in God, we must believe God. Amen. And there is a difference between the two. Yes. In this account, in this exchange, I think Jesus really emphasizes it with Nicodemus. And yes, John 3:16 is contained in this lesson. And it is one of the most misunderstood and misapplied verses in all of the Bible that are out in the world. And yet, when you understand it in its context, and you understand it as Christ taught it, it is absolutely beautiful. Trust that God will bless us to look at that at another time. Come ahead.
Amen. We'll sing the first and second.